Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, everybody. Welcome in. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Glad to have you with us again this week. Hopefully you're with us every day. The live show at 11, the replay at 3 o'clock, and of course we're podcasted every afternoon. I know a lot of you tune in that way. It's your convenience. We're glad to have you with us. Another great week of guests to join the program. But always on Monday, we start with our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sardano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. We've had a lot of fun over high school football season so far, highlighting some of the big performances, and we've had some big ones so far here in this 2019 high school football season. Friday night was another opportunity for a rivalry game, Floyd Central and New Albany, and I tell you what, it was a very interesting contest. It was our feature game here on the Big X Sports Radio and our Southern Indiana Football Fridays coverage. New Albany jumped to a 14-0 lead, and it looked like it might be a great game and a very competitive game for the first quarter or longer, and then Floyd Central took over. They scored 50 unanswered points, and they went on to defeat the Bulldogs 50-14. On Friday night in a rivalry game between two schools from the same school corporation. Part of the reason that the Highlanders were able to not only get it going and make a comeback, but go ahead to tie the game and then take a commanding lead, which became a final score with a big deficit for the Bulldogs, was because of a player who is our Athlete of the Week this week. Floyd Central Jr., Winkers Wright, he ran for 362 yards. He had 5 touchdowns on the night to help Floyd Central to a big, big win over their rival New Albany. Listen to this. His performance included touchdown runs of 82, 60, 55, 44, and 41 yards. Just an amazing night for him. And the thing is, this is the second time that he has been our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sardano's Pizza Parlor. We want to spread it around all the local schools in Clark and Floyd counties. We want to find different players to recognize. The winners get a free 14-inch pizza at Sardano's. They get a commercial that runs throughout the week honoring them and their team for their accomplishment with their stats and highlights for the week. But we want to spread it around to all the schools, but performances like what Winkers has been putting up are simply undeniable. That should win the award, and so we're going to give it to him for the second consecutive week. I told Coach Bragg, who's been great to work with us on our local coverage of sports, coaches in his second year at Floyd Central, I said, hey, if the guy's going to win it twice in the first handful of weeks of the season, we got to have him join us on the program for the second time. So joining us right now from Floyd Central High School is Floyd Central Junior Winkers. Right, Winkers, first off, congratulations. Huge performance on Friday night. Big win for your team over a rival on Friday night. And you've had a tremendous season as well. Talk about what was working well for you Friday. You had made 5 touchdowns, some for major yardage, and you were just playing the game the way it's supposed to be played Friday.
Well, on Friday, what worked best was the halftime. So it was 16-14 at halftime, and we went in. We were not comfortable with that lead whatsoever. So we got our minds in the game, and then second half, our blocking was tremendous. And so we got something going. We scored our first touchdown. And then after that, we just kept going back at it. We passed here and there. Then we surprised them with a run, and everything just seemed to play out perfectly, blocking, running. It's just perfect.
Winker's right, my guest, Floyd Central Jr. Winkers, talk about this season. This is a big one for you. And I got to be honest, the first week or two, you're putting up these big numbers and some big runs. I had to remind myself, you're just a junior. How much preparation through your opening years of high school football and through the offseason working with James Bragg, your coach at high school, but other trainers and things as well, how much preparation have you put into this season to put up these big numbers you're putting up so far?
So the preparation I got, I started as a sophomore. That's when I got to start halfway through the year because of Tyler Edwards. He had an injury. So that got me, like, used to the way of a high school flow. And then on the off season, I'm busting my butt. We meet over summer 3 days a week. I'm meeting my trainer after that. I'm going to work later in the day, and it's just, like, constant going at it, hard work, and giving it everything you have.
Winker's right, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Cerdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Everybody's been asking, with these big performances that you've been putting together, what are your plans? What are your hopes for football beyond your career? Which, again, you're just a junior. You still got your senior year forthcoming when this one is done. But what would be your dreams, your goals, your plans for football beyond high school?
Beyond high school, I would love to play some college ball. Like, I don't have a specific school in mind, just anyone that will, like, give me a scholarship. But after that, I want to, when it comes to football, I want to play in the NFL, but I also want to get myself a business degree, and I'm going to try my hardest to finish all 4 years of college, whether that be during college ball or playing in the NFL. So I take my schooling very seriously, and I hope to go into sales and business one day.
I love it. Big plans, big dreams for Winker's right, and he's had that sort of season to begin his junior year. Let's talk a little bit about your team. I know you're a very team-oriented player as well, in addition to the big stats that you put up personally. I feel like as I watch this Floyd Central team, you guys had a major challenge in week one against Male, who's a defending state champion in Louisville. They're obviously the cream of the crop there and likely have a chance to win another state title. You guys learned a lot about yourself, your team that day, and you've put what you learned to work over the next number of weeks. I feel like with that lesson, with victories now that you have under your belt, including the one Friday against New Albany, I feel like Floyd Central is headed in a really good direction this season with football. Do you agree, and how do you feel about your team and the chances the rest of the way, all the way through the sectional and maybe beyond?
I very much agree that we have had a very successful season so far. We took out our rivalry Providence, and that was a huge win for us. Then for the past 3 years, we've kept the anchor at home against New Albany. And this fourth year, we were able to help the seniors, and we kept the anchor home for all 4 years that they have been playing football. And this season is not yet over, and we're just going to give it everything we have.
Winker's right, our Athlete of the Week, a junior at Floyd Central, 362 yards, 5 touchdowns as Floyd Central defeated New Albany 50-14 on Friday night. Winkers, congratulations on winning this award not just once but twice so far this season. Make sure that Coach Bragg takes you down to Sellersburg after practice this week to get that 14-inch Cerdano's pizza, okay?
All right, I got you. Hear that, Coach Bragg? You got to take me down.
All right, Winkers, congratulations. Thank you so much. Hey, great season. We enjoy following you on Friday nights, and we'll catch up with you again, I'm sure.
Thank you. Hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. Winker's right. What a well-spoken young man as well, in addition to his talents on the football field. But Winker's right, a junior at Floyd Central. He's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Cerdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Listen, later in the day, you'll hear a commercial, a spot, a promo that will run throughout the week, highlighting Winker's once again for his big performance, all thanks to our friends at Cerdano's Pizza in Sellersburg. Let's get into the rest of the show. The guest lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we always open with our Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's. There's a lot to get to today, and unfortunately, we go from a very positive subject like Winker's right, a great young man and a big performance, to IU football, who did not have a great performance on Saturday. It was a game that everybody thought Indiana might be close in, a game that people wondered if Indiana can finish the game, can finish the fourth quarter against Ohio State. Could they come out with a victory somehow? So that obviously did not happen. It wasn't a close game outside of the first period of play, and we're going to talk some about that today in the opening segment and throughout the program as well. Also, big recruiting weekend for IU basketball. Trey Kaufman was on campus, another local standout in high school sports, and this was an official visit. Again, juniors, underclassmen can now take official visits, and we'll talk some about that coming up here in just a few moments. A couple other recruiting notes as well to pass along. Also, an update on Hoosier hysteria. I know a lot of IU fans say, heck with this, let's get to basketball season. Well, Hoosier hysteria will be here very soon, October 5th. What'll be like three and a half weeks away? And a little announcement about a guest that's going to be at Hoosier Hysteria this year. And also, we'll talk in our headline segment about IU volleyball. We don't talk much about IU volleyball, but they had a big win over the weekend against rival Kentucky. So we'll tell you about that as well. Oh, that's the headlines in our first segment. Later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us. We'll talk IU football. We'll break down their loss and really talk where does this Indiana football program go from here, and a little basketball recruiting with, again, a recruiting weekend, a big recruiting weekend for Archie Miller and the program Saturday with Trey Kaufman on campus. Also, later in the program, Chad Gilbert unavailable today due to some meetings, but Roger Jeffers, he's the park superintendent for Floyd County Parks and Recreation, he's going to join us at the tail end of the show to talk about something that I think is so unique. We talked a lot about Romeo Langford basketball court. It's been on the Celtics website. It's received a lot of publicity even after Romeo was drafted. And now they're opening a second court that's going to be right behind Romeo Langford court. And this one is not only the same quality court, the same quality goals, and I've said this, the goals, the outdoor goals that they have at Romeo court and this second court that's about to be open, they're literally as nice or nicer than some high school goals. And that's 100% honest. To be, you know, maybe not the main gym, but nicer than auxiliary gym goals. It's a very nice setup. And so that will open on Saturday. The name of that court is Phillips Pavilion. It's named after Elliot and the late Sue Phillips, who made the donation to the parks to make this project possible. And one thing about the facility, about the court, the outdoor court, this one has a top over it. It's actually got a structure. It's got a covering over it. It's got a scoreboard attached to the inside of the structure. And it's just unbelievable. I have been around basketball for a long time. I've often thought that outdoor basketball is something that in many ways has went away. Three-on-three basketball outdoors has went away, although it is making a little bit of comeback. Three-on-three basketball is now an Olympic sport. But this facility, the Phillips Pavilion it's called, is unbelievable. And it's going to open up on Saturday. There's a grand opening ceremony set for 10 a.m. Saturday. And then after that, there's going to be an exhibition game with some kids from across the area, some younger kids. And Jim Shannon of New Albany and Wally Brown of IU Southeast will be the honorary coaches in that game. But Roger's going to join us to talk a little bit about the project. And if you haven't seen it, swing through this week. It's just beautiful. The whole layout of Romeo Court and Phillips Pavilion, really the whole park. It's located inside of Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. But check it out. And, of course, Roger wants to invite you to the grand opening on Saturday as well. So we'll have more details about that. This is something that is very unique to our area. And, again, it's not just New Albany or Floyd County. It's something that will be used by all the basketball crazy people in this area and will give opportunities to do some outdoor stuff and some different things that maybe haven't been done in this area as often as maybe what they used to be. So kudos to that. Great project, Elliot Phillips and his late wife making it possible. And we'll talk with Roger about that later in the program today. That's the guest lineup for this Monday show. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's. And speaking of Zaxby's, already looking ahead and thinking ahead and talking to coaches for not only boys basketball, but for girls basketball this year as well. We'll be having our tip-off shows out there where we interview every coach in the area, key players from the area as well. A lot of the people that we talk about on this program, we'll have those dates for you coming up. It's hard to believe we're getting closer and closer to basketball season. Still a ways off from the boys' season. The girls' high school season obviously will be here sooner, but we'll have our Zaxby's tip-off shows coming up for both of those sports a little bit later this fall into the early winter. Headlines today, in addition to Trey Kaufman being on campus over the weekend for the IU football game, I saw a couple photos of, I think they were eating at Nick's, Archie Miller and Trey Kaufman, and I'm sure others as well, taking him out and about, letting him see the sights and sounds of Bloomington on a college football Saturday. I know a lot of people kind of jokingly said, gosh, we'd love to see Trey go to Indiana. Indiana seems to be in a good position with him, but we hope the football result didn't affect things. And obviously, it's more about getting to spend time with the coach and getting to see more of the facilities and getting to see what campus life as a whole, whether the football team wins or loses or gets blown out as they did on Saturday. That's what those visits are more about. In addition to Trey being there as a potential recruit, IU verbal commit Anthony Leal was also in attendance at the game, and I think it's always a great thing to put the future players with the current players and get a chance to mingle and relax in that setting. But Anthony Leal on campus, of course, as you would expect him to be, right in his backyard at Bloomington. And also Hoosier Hysteria. It's coming up on October 5th. It's an event that's going to begin at 4 o'clock. And IU basketball announcing on Saturday through a really neat video on its men's basketball social media account that Calbert Chaney will be honored and recognized at this year's Hoosier Hysteria and will be part of the program. So that will be pretty cool to see Calbert back in Assembly Hall with a big crowd there as Indiana gets fired up to start the season. Speaking of football, speaking of the football season, Connecticut, the next opponent for IU football. We'll talk some about that matchup with Zach Osterman in the next segment. I guess if you want to take anything away from Saturday's game that's positive, it's this. A, Michael Penix did not play, an exciting quarterback, we think, with a very bright future to lead Indiana. He was unavailable for the game, but the good news is he's not expected to miss a lot of the season. We don't know if he'll come back immediately as this Saturday against Connecticut, but that's one positive. He didn't play. Not that he would have made up the difference in the number of points, 41 points, the difference in the final score, but I would have liked to have seen how he handled a situation like that, the playmaker that he is in a big game like that. So we'll see if Penix is back next week. The other good news you can take away from it is B, it's Connecticut. It's not another Big Ten team. It's not a top-tier Big Ten team like Ohio State. It's Connecticut that it could still be a challenge for Indiana. We don't know enough about this football team with Penix in the pocket yet, I think, to know for sure. But it definitely will be a game that Indiana can get back to the basics and figure some things out and win before they get back into Big Ten play coming up. And I still think, and I could be completely wrong, I still think when we look back on things 3-4 weeks down the road, this Indiana football team could still at midseason have a really good record and still has a great chance to get bowl eligible for this season. But definitely some big challenges ahead. Also, IU volleyball victorious in a 5-set match over the weekend against Kentucky. They won the fifth set 15-11 to win the match. And Kentucky, I understand, good volleyball program. Allie Stumler plays for the Wildcats. She's a local player that had an unbelievable high school career at Christian Academy in New Albany. And Kentucky ranked, I think, number 15 when Indiana beat them on Saturday. So big win for IU volleyball. That's the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Special shout out to Winkers Wright, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dan O's Pizza. He joined us in the first segment to talk about his award this week and a great performance he had. Floyd Central has really turned the football, the corner, in high school football this season. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU Ohio State, the big loss for Hoosier football. We'll talk Michael Penix. We'll talk the UConn game next Saturday at noon for IU football. We'll talk some IU basketball recruiting with Trey Kaufman on campus and where Indiana turns next, perhaps for its next commitment, next verbal commitment. Later in the program, Roger Jeffers, the superintendent of Floyd County Parks and Recreation, a quick chat on Phillips Pavilion, a covered, state-of-the-art, one-of-a-kind, I say, outdoor basketball court that opens on Saturday at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park in New Albany. We'll get the full rundown on that. It's right by Romeo Court, and hear from Rogers some of the details. We'll do all that and more coming up on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Monday edition of the program means the opportunity to catch up with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who covers IU athletics for the Star. And Zach, so much excitement over the weekend for IU and Ohio State, and lots of questions unanswered. I think we all admitted that heading into the Ohio State game, but there was some excitement that this could be a year Indiana again would play Ohio State close and battle. And the question remained, would Indiana be in a position late in the game to actually maybe close the game against Ohio State this time and come up with a victory? And after a competitive first quarter, the middle two quarters were just absolutely deadly to Indiana. It's not a close game. The Hoosiers did not have an opportunity to finish the game strong, and they get waxed, to be quite honest, 51-10. The final score. Any surprise in that result? There was lots of build-up, lots of excitement that maybe it would be a competitive game. Any surprise to you what the final result was and how badly Indiana played in many ways?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. And I didn't predict an IU win. You know, a couple different Columbus outlets asked me to kind of participate in pregame stuff, and I think I predicted, you know, standard, but the scenario you just described where Indiana kept Ohio State honest for a while, you know, maybe got it late in the game, and then, you know, just kind of faded because that eventually talent wears out, and, you know, Ohio State was going to have more talent, have more depth. I'm actually climbing in my car right now. Forgive me to head up to today's football sessions, but I think that what surprised me, and this is a little bit of what I wrote in my post-game insider, was it didn't feel like I was watching the Indiana that we've sort of grown accustomed to seeing in these games, particularly at home in the last, really the greater part of the last decade. You know, the Indiana that was capable of that, the Indiana that was capable of going so close and at very least giving a really good accounting of themselves before kind of running out of room. It was an Indiana that, you know, obviously the final score is very much reflective of the way the game went on. It was an Indiana that just looked hopelessly outmatched almost everywhere. And I think you just sort of felt like Indiana in its current sort of iteration had put those performances in the past, that recruiting had gotten good enough, player development had improved enough, coaching had improved enough, all those different things to kind of raise the floor for Indiana and say that at very least, and it's especially at home, in a game like this, you don't lose that way. But it felt like the Indiana that maybe I was first introduced to as an IU student back in the mid-2000s, when there were just games that you knew Indiana was just going to take an absolute hiding, and it was just a question of how many points and whether they could get out, you know, healthy and intact enough to be ready for the next week. And I think that if there's a broader concern from this, and Lord knows there are a lot of, you know, sort of drilled down concerns, but there's a broader concern from this that Indiana cannot afford to go back to that place, because so much of what's happened in the last 10 years will feel like it's kind of been for nothing if it does.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, recap of a very disappointing loss performance, especially at home for this IU football team. And Zach, you mentioned you're headed to a press conference today, so obviously we'll catch more of the fallout on this IU team as they head into another week of play. But where
does the IU program turn for here? Obviously, you've got to turn the page from this loss, a bad loss in a bad way, and show that there still can be hopes for a competitive season. There still can be hopes for six victories. Where does the IU team go from here? How do they collect themselves from such a deficit, from such a loss in the manner that it happened?
Yeah, I think you've got to convince these guys to just flush it as much as possible. I mean, you're certainly going to review the film. You know, I don't think it's one of those cases where you burn all the film symbolically or literally. You know, but the worst thing that can happen in games like this is that you take them into the next week with you, or the week after that, or the week after that, that whatever Indiana experienced on Saturday becomes lodged in their psyche and their sort of team profile, and they can't shake it the rest of the year. Listen, it never feels good to lose 51-10. That is the heaviest defeat Indiana's ever suffered to Ohio State at home. I mean, ever. So you think about how long, I think, these two teams have been playing since 1901. And this is the worst defeat Indiana's ever taken off of Ohio State. But by the same token, I think I don't know exactly, you know, listen, if I got paid as much as IU's coaches got paid, I'd probably find a more artful way to say this. But you also want to convey to guys that wasn't the make or break game of the season. You know, beating Ohio State wasn't the number one priority of Indiana's season, and it probably never will be. You know, it would be for Penn State, it would be for Michigan, it's not for IU. So learn what you can, obviously, from your mistakes, and there's plenty to learn there. But as much as it possibly can, I also think Indiana's just got to find a way to just totally flush this performance, because you've got UConn this weekend at home, then you go to East Lansing, and that game suddenly looks very winnable for a good Indiana team, if there is a good Indiana team that's able to show up in that game. Then you, I believe, get Rutgers at home after a bye week. There's a path to 5-1, I guess, is my point. That even for all of the disappointment and the hand-wringing and the concern over what happened against Ohio State, there's a path forward for Indiana to still making plenty of good out of this season. It's the old cliche, Indiana cannot let Ohio State beat them twice. And I think that more than anything else, you've got to find a way to flush this performance and just get your mind trained on what's to come.
Zach Ostrom of the Indianapolis Star. We're talking IU football. The fallout from the IU-Ohio State game on Saturday. I guess the other good news, Zach, as you mentioned, still a path potentially to that record, is the bounce-back game for Indiana coming up Saturday. It's not another Big Ten team. It's not a tough conference opponent. It's Connecticut, and it's also a home game for IU.
Yeah, if there's one thing that an otherwise difficult schedule, I think, did do for Indiana, it's that there's not really a stretch built into this schedule where you feel like Indiana can't win games. Or I guess maybe to put it in a more, in just a better spoken way, there's not a stretch of the schedule where you say, well, Indiana's just going to have to endure three straight weeks of losses, because there's no way they're going to win that game, or that game. You know, the Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan axis is kind of broken up a little bit. You know, the Nebraska game is thrown in next to Rutgers and Maryland, so you don't have this feeling that, like, you're stacking losses on top of losses. You know, think back to that Kevin Wilson, that first season that Kevin Wilson went to a bowl game. Indiana started 4-0 and then lost six straight games, and then won its last two games. And it was one of the more extreme seasons in terms of results that a guy's ever seen. Indiana doesn't have that. And so Indiana can at very least, listen, Indiana cannot take UConn lightly, can't take Rutgers lightly, and so on and so on. But Indiana can, in my mind, at very least, be able to say, okay, here's a game where we can come back and we can get some more confidence back, and we can work on some of the things that, we clearly need to work on after what happened last weekend. And we should be able to win while making some mistakes. And we should be able to win while still tinkering with some things and maybe while still working through some things. And that's important, again, for Indiana because, seriously, I mean, look at Michigan State right now. And that's largely the bones of a Michigan State team that came to Bloomington last year and, you know, won what I would call a commanding 35-21 game. And I don't know how many commanding 35-21 games there are out there, but Michigan State deserved its win in that game and may well beat Indiana again. But it's also a Michigan State team that just lost ugly at home to Arizona State. That clearly has some more intrinsic issues with staffing and scheme and things like that. And I think you saw some pretty frayed nerves displayed on social media and things like that on Saturday night after what happened in East Lansing. That's a game that if Indiana turns up and plays well, it can win. And not like, oh my gosh, Indiana moved heaven and earth and beat Michigan State and East Lansing. But, hey, Indiana's good, and Michigan State's on a down year, and Indiana jumped up and bit them for it. Indiana's got to get its feet back underneath it. It's got to get its win back. And you never want to take, you know, any opponent too lightly, but there are worse opponents to have than Rutgers in that regard. Than UConn in that regard.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, our guest. IU football, the topic. One other football question, and then I do want to take a dive into some basketball stuff because it was a big recruiting weekend despite the IU football loss and really bad performance on the field. Your thoughts on Michael Penix? It doesn't seem like this is going to be a long outing for him as far as being unable to play out of games. How much, and I know he's so new to the starting quarterback position that it's probably hard. Maybe this is a question down the road you can answer better. But looking back on Saturday's game, how much did his absence from that contest hurt Indiana's ability not only to win the game but even to be a little more competitive? Do you think that played a factor in it? Because I sure don't know the answer to that question, but I do know when I watch Penix in the QB position, he's sure intriguing, and he's the type of guy that you could see playing in a game like that against a big-time opponent.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously hard to say scientifically. I think Indiana's more competitive personally in that game. You know, what it felt like sort of snapped the rubber band for Indiana on Saturday was that at a certain point, everybody just realized that Indiana couldn't hurt Ohio State. You know, for the best part of that first half, Indiana's defense battled admirably. It gave up some points. It gave up some chunk plays, but it also had a couple of nice stands, you know, in the red zone area and things like that. It got to Justin Fields a little bit. Didn't really ever bottle up J.K. Dobbins, but, you know, other than the elite defenses, I'm not sure who's going to do that this year. But where it felt like the game just kind of where the dam broke, I guess, if it broke any one place and not, you know, 10 places, was when it just became apparent that Indiana's offense had no way to hurt Ohio State. And, you know, we'll see if Michael Penix is back. I mean, I'm driving up to Tom Allen's at press conference right now, anticipating that he's going to tell us nothing about Michael Penix today other than he's game time, he's day to day, and we'll just go from there. You know, I don't want to speculate too much, but based on what I'm confident in knowing about the injury, I do think it is genuinely a fairly day-to-day thing. I don't think it's like he's got a stress fracture in his foot and it's going to be at least 4 weeks and we're just going to call him day-to-day for 4 weeks until he's back. But I think that any time Indiana doesn't have Michael Penix, it loses the primary engine for explosiveness in its offense. And that's why he won the job, was because he gives this offense a little bit of an X factor because he can throw the ball deep and because he can take the top off of a defense. And there were, especially in that first half, you know, two or three times, maybe four times, when Peyton Ramsey really tried to do that. And it's worth pointing out that Ohio State was maybe the opponent that Ramsey had the most success doing that against last year. You know, he threw for 322 yards, I think, and three touchdowns in Columbus. but the arm strength just wasn't quite the same. And, you know, guys were waiting on the football instead of running underneath it and, you know, things like that. And Indiana just had no way to stretch Ohio State. They couldn't spread them out horizontally. They couldn't backpedal them vertically. They couldn't soften up the middle with the run. And they just had nothing that they could do that could take Ohio State out of its base defense. And letting Ohio State just kind of play the game on its terms, however it wanted to. I think Penix probably is able to do a little bit more of that. Now, what's the difference in final score? Is it 45-21 instead of 51-10? I don't know. But I do think that Indiana not having that element of explosiveness really was a tangible factor in the way that the game went last season, this past weekend. And the quicker they can get Michael Penix back, quite frankly, the better.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us. A lot of recap there on IU, Ohio State. Obviously, a disappointing performance for the Hoosiers, but now they gear up for Connecticut this coming weekend, a game that I believe kicks off at noon in Bloomington. I do want to talk a little hoops with you today. Going back to the football game and this weekend, obviously fall football is the opportunity for a good setting for campus visits for other sports, including basketball. And this weekend was headlined by Trey Kaufman, a local player to us here in Southern Indiana that is garnering all sorts of college interest. And I think that at least the IU people that I run into out around the area were tickled to death to see, after a Purdue visit last week for Kaufman and after all the visitors that Brandon Hoffman reported when he joined our program last week, as far as college coaches dropping into Silver Creek High School to watch Trey, I think Indiana fans were tickled to death that quick Trey would be on IU's campus to really experience things. And Indiana and Archie Miller and I guess the historical values of the program, that all adds up. We know Indiana fans can really aid recruiting a player as well, letting them know how important they are to coming to the program and how special the program is as far as recognition and really what a celebrity you are immediately when you enter the fold. So that said, it was a huge weekend for Archie Miller. There were some photos I saw on social media. People, fans snapped of Archie and Trey and others at dinner and around Bloomington. So obviously a lot of excitement in the air despite the football performance with Trey Kaufman taking an official visit this weekend. Just as a junior, it's hard for me to get used to seeing underclassmen taking official visits, but that's what happened for Trey this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think you couple that to the sort of independently publicized visit that Archie, Tom Ostrom, and Bruiser Flint all made to Christian Lander last weekend. Was it last week? It was either last week or 2 weeks ago down in Evansville. And you very much, you understand very quickly that this is going to be an important class for Indiana. And I recognize that at one level there's no such thing as an unimportant recruiting class at a place like IU. But, you know, at the moment anyway, I think it's probably most likely that Indiana will only wind up with one more recruit at most in 2020. I think it's possible Archie Miller could oversign, but, you know, we know that there's a small kind of number of targets that it seems like Indiana's attention is focused on right now in that class left over. And we also know Archie Miller does not like the idea of oversigning and packing his rosters and creating that conflict a lot. So I would say that it's what's most likely in my mind is that Indiana only gets one more in 2020. That means that Indiana can really start in earnest turning its attention toward 2021 and toward a class that in state is very, very good. Kaufman, Lander, Caleb Love, a class that probably won't be huge. You know, if you look at what Indiana's got coming off its roster, you're still probably talking about a class that's only, you know, three-ish players, unless, I mean, obviously things can change, but at the moment, you're probably talking about a class that's only a couple, three, maybe four guys, so you're allowed to kind of keep a fairly narrow scope, at least right now. And I think that when you can get a guy like Trey Kaufman, because it's also worth pointing out, you mentioned that juniors can take official visits now. They can take official visits again as seniors. So you can take an official visit as a junior, and then I forget exactly what the line of demarcation is, but once you roll over into your senior year in the NCAA's eyes, you can take another official visit to the same school again. These are, they're basically separate, distinct official visit, you know, periods. And I think that's important for Indiana, too, because Indiana's going to want to see Trey Kaufman back on campus again, probably this time next year, if he's not already committed to Indiana or somewhere else. They're probably still going to be doing that, you know, making him that same priority and doing that same dance with him. And I think that from Indiana's perspective, what's important is that Archie Miller is able to turn his attentions now, at least partially, to 2021 and really starting to lay a strong foundation for IU in what I think is going to be certainly is obviously a really talented class in state, but could also be a really, really important class for Archie Miller and his staff. He's already able to kind of turn the page at least a little bit and start thinking in a very, very real way about that.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, lots of good stuff. IU football, the loss to Ohio State, and IU basketball recruiting. Zach, as always, thanks for the opportunity to start our week with your insight on IU sports, and we'll talk with you again next Monday, hopefully coming out of a better, at least, performance from the football team than what we had to discuss this weekend, but we'll talk with you then.
Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Don't forget, we named our Athlete of the Week a little earlier in the program today, as we do every Monday here on the show. Floyd Central Jr., Winkers Wright, ran for 362 yards, 5 touchdowns on Friday night to help the Highlanders. They scored 50 unanswered points. New Albany was ahead 14-0, the final score. Winkers and his Highlanders winning 50-14 over rival New Albany. He had touchdown runs of 82 yards, 60 yards, 55 yards, 44 yards, and 41 yards as well. Just a huge night again. And when we started this Athlete of the Week award, we wanted to spread it out a little bit. We've done our best to do that, and we'll continue to do so through the football season and into basketball as well. But hard to deny Junior Winkers Wright for the second time this season, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sardano's Pizza Parlor. So fun stuff there. Congratulations to Winkers. He's had some huge performances. Floyd Central football looking good. I really feel like Silver Creek at 4-0 and the Highlanders right behind them have probably been the two headliners of the season so far. Floyd Central playing some good football. They've got a big game against Jeff, which they're, the favorite in this week as well. And then we'll go from there to see what's next. But definitely Winkers Wright king this Floyd Central team to a nice start in this 2019 football season. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with a final segment here on this Monday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program. Quick note before we get into this segment. It looks like Jeffersonville will have its boys basketball coach named on Tuesday night at a meeting of the Greater Clark County School Board. Still unsure, interim, permanent, who exactly that name might be, but we expect to know more sometime by the school board meeting tomorrow night. Of course, timing very important in this decision, as early season practices, limited contact practices they're called, have already begun. Joining me as our guest in this final segment is Roger Jeffers. Roger is the superintendent of Floyd County Parks and Recreation. We last spoke with Roger back last summer when the Romeo Langford basketball court at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park was being opened. And I know lots of people have been to the park or have went by to see the tribute to Romeo and how quality it is. And Roger, I know you're happy to report that there is another outdoor court coming to Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. This one located right next to Romeo Court. And this one actually has a cover over it. It's an unbelievable structure. I've been around a lot of outdoor basketball settings, and I can't say that I ever have seen anything that is as well put together as not only the court and the goals and how everything came together with the color scheme, but also the fact that it has a roof over it. So, Roger, thanks for coming on to talk to us a little bit about this awesome project, which opens on Saturday with the grand opening at 10 a.m., and then there's going to be an exhibition game with some youth players around 10:30 on Saturday, and the public is invited to come out and see this thing. But, Roger, can you describe, when somebody hears me say an open-air court, a covered court outdoors, can you describe this facility to us and tell us how this became a Floyd County Parks project in your newest park there at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park?
Sure, Matt. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's a unique structure. I've been doing this for 27 years in Ohio and Indiana, and you know, obviously Indiana is a hotbed of basketball. So to see something like this, it's you know, it's very unique and one of a kind kind of facility. But it's the size of this thing is about 25 feet high, with the center about 30 feet high. It's a pitch roof, and with 16 LED lights underneath it, so the kids can even play in the evening hours on timer. So 11 o'clock, everything goes off. But you know, to give you a better idea, we have our Southern Indiana Sports Center. We play volleyball and basketball here at our office, and it's just as bright and looks just as nice and as high as what we have indoors here for our facility. So, like I said, it's one of a kind. It came about, obviously, in conjunction with the Romeo Langford Court, because 16 months ago we had a gentleman call wanting to donate a roof over the Romeo Court. We couldn't make that work due to the utilities along the side, and obviously we're building a huge kite, so this thing had to really be fastened down well. So there's 12 concrete footers around this thing with huge pillars and all steel structure holding this down. But it all came about from a donation from a great gentleman here in this community, Elliot Phillips, wanted to give back to the community. He's developed a lot of areas here. The Meyer store on Charlestown Road was one of his developments, the Charlestown Crossing apartment complex. So he felt like the community's been really good to him. He just wanted to give back. And so after about $240,000 later, we've got this amazing facility right open on Saturday morning.
Unbelievable. Great stuff, Elliot Phillips. In fact, the facility will be named after Elliot and his late wife, the Elliot and Sue Phillips Pavilion. And the grand opening is Saturday, 10 o'clock. Then there's going to be an actual game, a regulation game with some youth players from New Albany and Floyd County and across southern Indiana, which should be a lot of fun to kind of christen the new facility. I read a press release from this morning where Mr. Phillips, who made this very kind donation, really unbelievable is, I think, the word that listeners will have when they ride through the park and hopefully check it out or maybe come to the grand opening on Saturday. But Elliot said in the press release he's a big fan of the Hoosiers and, quote, hopefully the Hoosiers can recruit another Romeo Langford to the program if we build the right places for our kids to play the game. Pretty interesting. I know that I've asked you about this many times since we had you on last, but Romeo Langford Court, which is basically right at the foot, the base of the Phillips Pavilion structure we're talking about that opens on Saturday, I know the play there, free play, open play, from adults, from kids, it seems like almost any time of day, even into the evening with the lights on that not covered court that Romeo Langford is, it sounds like it getting amazing play as well, which is good to hear.
Right, and this is going to be a welcome addition because it's getting so much play. We don't like to see kids waiting to play another game, so this will be another facility right there that they can play on, and if it starts raining, they can all go up and play underneath there as well. So, yeah, it's been a tremendous hit since day one. A lot of kids there, and the lights are in the park. You know, the park closed at 11 p.m., and the lights all go off at 11 o'clock, and there's kids out there when the lights go off still playing some nights at 11 o'clock. So, and adults. It's just not kids. We've had a lot of seniors out there shooting and playing with their grandkids and stuff like that. So it's been a facility used by everyone.
Great to hear. Roger Jeffers, he's the superintendent of Floyd County Parks and Recreation. We're talking about Phillips Pavilion. It's an undercover outdoor basketball court, scoreboard, whole nine yards, has everything that you could want, a regulation high school size court. Now, tell us a little bit about Saturday. I know it starts at 10 o'clock. There'll be a lot of important county officials there that want to be part of this grand opening and some people that you guys want to thank. Also, I understand that in as part of the scrimmage game, which is going to involve some local players, some pretty talented youngsters as well. I understand Jim Shannon of New Albany and Wiley Brown of IU Southeast are going to kind of serve as honorary coaches in that game that will have referees and really be a regulation contest.
Yeah, this is all going to be first class, and that's the way it should be because it's a first-class facility out there. So we're really looking forward to it and getting Coach Shannon and Coach Brown involved with this, just local dignitaries here that will really these fourth-grade kids are just going to have a great time with it, we think, as well. But we also have some of our county officials from our county council and county commissioners will be there, and our parks board will be there to welcome everyone and thank Mr. Phillips as well. But again, the county's put some funds towards this as well because Mr. Phillips built the building, but we put in some sidewalks and some in the court, painted it, and we have unbelievable goals on it, the same goals as Romeo Langford Court is the best goals in the country. And so we're really pleased with the whole situation. We have benches put on there for summer league games. We hope to start next summer having adult summer league games and hopefully eventually have some youth games out there during the summer months as well in the future. So we feel like it's going to get utilized, sometimes almost year-round if the weather holds up. We don't get a lot of real cold weather. I think the kids can play even during the wintertime out there.
Great to hear. Roger Jeffers, Park Superintendent, Floyd County Parks and Recreation. And this is all at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. And if you haven't seen the whole park, everything from the Little League facility to the shelter pavilion, just amazing stuff. You can find it right behind Northside Church off of Charlestown Road. Roger, we invite everybody to come out Saturday. I look forward to being there 10 o'clock for the opening, 10:30 for the game. Should be a lot of fun, and we'll catch you then. Thanks for the rundown, and great work here.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Roger Jeffers, Superintendent, Floyd County Parks with us. That's going to wrap up this Monday edition of the program. One more shout-out to Winkers Wright, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. Big, big performance from him over the weekend on Friday as Floyd Central downed rival Floyd Central. Don't forget, coming up later in the week, we've got Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star tomorrow. Also, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will talk some IU football, and hopefully we've got a little information on how the visit went for Trey Kaufman taking an official visit as a junior to the IU campus over the weekend. So we'll do all of that tomorrow, and of course a lot of other things coming your way during the week. Don't forget, if you can't listen to the live program at 11 or the replay at 3, we've got you covered on podcasting. You can listen on Apple Podcasts. Just search The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can subscribe and get it delivered for free to your smart device each day. And we're on SoundCloud as well. Have a great Monday. We'll talk tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.